Turn your Bible with me to 2 Timothy chapter 2. We're starting at verse 14. Let's say Brian Sinclair is a nice guy, really nice guy. He's going to take all of us to Hawaii. Honolulu, Hawaii. Give him a hand. So I'm going to answer that. He chartered private jet plane. So we all got on board, and as we're buckling the seat belt and we're taxiing away, and as soon as we got into 15,000 feet above sea level, the captain came on intercom, and he said, "Welcome, Calvary Chapel of Sarita, to flight by night airline, flight 262, with a service to Honolulu, Hawaii. We have a tiny itsy-bitsy problem with our navigational system and GPS system. I think we are a little off, but I don't think it will be a problem. Just enjoy your flight." Yeah, he got the cheap flight. What can you do with the CJ? It's a little course, right? Hawaii is a little speck in the gigantic Pacific Ocean. If you start with a little off course, might be 1 degree off. But in the end, when you're about to land, when you're about to run out of fuel, you might be hundreds of miles away. So by then, you might be swimming for a long, long distance. You got the picture. You're supposed to put the picture right that time. There. That's a Brian. In the same way that we must know what we believe. We must know what we believe. We must know what God has revealed to us through the Word of God. If we don't know what the sound theology is, we may find ourselves farther from the truth than we truly want to be. We might start as just a little off. In the beginning of my Christian walk with Christ, my family started our church at the Charismatic Church. One of the drawbacks of a Charismatic Church, I'm not denouncing them, I'm not talking down about them. There's one drawback is that they tend to kind of neglect theology. At the same time, the other side of the spectrum, some of the mainstream denominations tend to be so much bogged down to theology, they forget the Holy Spirit and His work. You with me on that? At that time, I often thought in my ignorance, I truly said this, "I don't care about theology, I just love Jesus." Well, that's sweet, and that's a sentimental comment. But it is extremely dangerous. We need to care about theology, folks. And you're thinking, theology? What do you think this is, Bible college or seminary? No, we need to know. Theology is a study of what God has revealed to us. Theology is a study of what God has revealed to us. If we don't know what God has revealed to us, then we won't know the spirit. We won't have a spiritual and moral compass to guide us through the life. Without the spiritual compass, we may be off course just a little bit for now, but we will be entirely lost by the time tomorrow rolls around. We need to know. This morning, Apostle Paul is telling his spiritual son Timothy to be approved by the Lord rather than man. And let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, your word in Psalms said, "One thing I have desire of the Lord, that I will seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to hold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in His temple." Father, we do not want to be popular, but rather we want to be truthful. Help us be on your path, the path that lead us to the everlasting life with the truth and hope and love. in Christ Jesus. Heavenly Father, we pray for President Obama. We're asking you to touch his heart that he may come to know Jesus. Truly come to know Jesus that he may do what is right in your sight instead of evil things. And we also pray for our troops, our law enforcement personnel and firefighters. We're asking you to protect them, watch over them, and keep them safe as they protect us. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 14 of chapter 2. Remind them these things, charging them before the Lord not to strive about the words to no profit, to the ruin of the hearers. After reminding Timothy of the essential point of the gospel in preview verses, Paul is adding to the Timothy, he must always remind his church, Timothy's church, that the focus on the gospel of Jesus Christ. I took this advice from the Apostle Paul seriously at the beginning of our church. So when we started on Sunday morning, we started with the Matthew. And a few books after the Matthew, we did a few other books, and then we went back to Mark. And we did a few more books, and then we went back to Luke. Many of you guys remember that. And now we are in the process of going back to the book of John. After this 2 Timothy, we will go back to the book of John. Why am I going continuously going back to the gospel? What is about the Bible? It's about Jesus. What is about Christianity? It's about Jesus. Going back to the main focal point, Jesus Christ. A lot of people tend to think that they should do something other than just boring Bible teaching. There's nothing boring about Bible teaching, Bible study. Listen, Satan and his cohort constantly tempt the church to get off its course. And they want us to forget the message of Jesus Christ and what really matters. And Satan doesn't care one bit if the church becomes an entertainment center or social service agency or any number of other things. How many major denomination churches have become a social agency, social service agency, or simply mutual admiration society? Church became a kind of nice place to get together. That's great. Fellowship is great. However, the main thing is knowing Jesus. Keep your finger right there in 1 Corinthians, please. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 2. If you are not familiar with this verse, memorize it, please. In addition to your weekly verses, this verse is our church theme verse. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 2. I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ, him crucified. With a conscious effort, this Apostle Paul is telling us he will choose not to know anything. At the same time, Paul warns Timothy not to focus on some things. He wanted him to focus on the gospel, the main message, but he is telling Timothy not to focus on other things. We must not get into debating or arguing about the petty theologies that are nothing more than a very effective, divisive tool of Satan. Let me make a few examples. Number one, eternal security of salvation, talking about Calvinism and Arminianism. Some of you are thinking, what? Is that a designer? You're thinking Calvin Klein and what's the other one? Armani, there we go. It sounds familiar, don't you think? Calvinism believes that once you are saved, no matter what you do, you are saved. They have a 5-point of Calvinism. And Arminianism is, if you sneeze wrong and you say something silly, oh, you lost salvation. So you can lose salvation on and off all the time. And crucifying Jesus Christ every time they have to come back to God. They have a five-pointed Arminianism as well. People fight over their Calvinism and Arminianism. The people who are far more intelligent than I can ever be, they argue over that for the last 500 years. And they never succeed to unite it together. Do you know what it is? It's a pride. It's a divisive tool of Satan. Another thing that divides the church is speaking in tongue. I speak in tongue. You don't, so you are less than me. Wow, really? I didn't know that. And another one, using King James Bible only. And thou hast. Say what? How many people that talk thou hast? Nobody. This kind of thing divide the church does not unite the church. That's the things I call petty theology. I will not be sucked into that kind of thing. And nor should you. Rather than getting into endless argument, we should put our heart into things that matter, such as discipleship, servanthood, obedience to the Lord, and loving one another. What a concept, huh? Let's go to the verse 15. At this rate, by the time we finish, 2 Timothy, the Lord will come back. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed. Obviously, Timothy needs to be reminded several times, be diligent for whatever the reason is. Though there was a place being cordial, being personable as a pastor, as Christians, all of you, we should not present ourselves to be approved to God, to be approved to people, but to God. It seems that many pastors and many churches around the world, and especially in the United States in the last 20 years, they try to be approved to people. Famous pastor of a gigantic, seeker-sensitive church said this once, by the end of the service, my face hurt because I had to smile so much. Listen to me. God's truth, a lot of times, God's truth does not bring a smile to us. You know why? Because it goes against our carnal nature. So if you speak, I'm not saying you have to be grumpy and ugly and as if you just drank the whole bottle of the acid. You know, some people actually walk around with a droopy mouth and they think they are holy. No, it's not holy. It's you're being grumpy. God has a great sense of humor. He made you. See, it's have a good sense of humor, but at the same time, when you have to be serious about the truth of God. And the Word of God will cut to the chase. We don't have to please people all the time for the sake of popularity contest. As I said before, it's one thing to be cordial, one thing to be personable, but we are not here to please man, but we are here to please God. It's embarrassing to do the job poorly and then have our work examined by the Lord. What am I talking about? We have to do everything in excellence for the Lord. Bible warns us the work of each Christian will be examined at the judgment seat of Christ. I think that it's a good motivation for us to do everything with excellence for the Lord, don't you? Go to the, keep your finger there, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, please. Second Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. I'm not talking about the believers of Jesus Christ throwing into hell because he didn't meet the certain quota or goal. This is something you do for the Lord, and if you have done with an ulterior motive, then it will be burned. But if you're done with a pure motive for the glory of God, it will come out as a pure jewel. Each of us, listen, each of us as God's workman will be either approved or shamed. The word approved means one who has been tested and found acceptable. Found acceptable. The word was used for the testing and approving the metal. Each trial we go through, that we go through, to force us to study the Word of God and to find God's will, not to find your own will. As we rightly use the Word, we succeed in overcoming our trials. How do we overcome our trials? Through the Word of God. And we are approved by God. Martin Luther once said, study, prayer, and suffering makes a pastor. That is true. But it's not just for pastors. It's for every single Christian around the world. We cannot, let me say one more time, we cannot be approved unless we are tested. Some people say, I don't like this trial. I don't know when this is going to end. Well, if you don't like it, guess what, buddy? It's going to be prolonged. You're going to go through no matter what until God says it's good enough. Second half of the verse 15, rightly dividing the word of truth. Rightly dividing the word of truth. This is the focus of the Timothy's work. He has to, his work should be diligently done, and so that he could rightly divide the word of God to teach his congregation properly. As a pastor, he had to know the word, the scripture, and with a lot of study and prayer and meditation. With that in mind, some of you are thinking, this command is not for me. That's for you, preacher, and all the Bible teachers. No, not so fast, Buckaroo. If you only read the Bible when you come to here on Sunday morning and you don't read the Bible, you don't even crack open the Bible because you don't do a daily devotion or prayer and meditation, and it is no wonder why you cannot divide the word rightly. What am I talking about? Let me put in this term, example. If you don't do any of those daily meditation and daily devotion and prayer, and you don't read the Bible daily, it's like you're eating food that is chewed by somebody else. I know it sounds gross, especially right before the picnic. It's like while you're chewing the food, you get to have that flavor. And you're getting that nutrition while you're chewing the food. But you don't want to do that kind of thing. So, oh, pastor, you chew the food, I'll just eat it after you finish it. Ooh, gross, right? That's what you're doing spiritually. I want you to read. I want you to comprehend. I want you to give me the Reader's Digest version. No, I want you to take it from the Lord directly. Am I making sense? And some of you are thinking, you are gross. That's all you can think about, right? No, I want you to understand, you need to do your own daily devotion. While you chew the Word of God during your devotional and meditation time, you get to have a lot of great spiritual flavor and nutrition from the Lord. How do you do that? By dividing the Word rightly. Since Paul mentioned about the rightly dividing the Word, and there's such a thing as wrongly dividing the Word, we must understand the biblical truth, not just biblical truth is not just one issue that left up to everyone's interpretation. There's a right way to understand the Bible, and there's a wrong way to understand the Bible. The right way to understand the Bible and interpret the Bible is using what? Bible. Exactly. You can use a strong concordance. You know, guys know what the strong concordance is, right? Do we have a strong concordance to quickly grab? Can you grab the strong concordance? It's a tiny book. You guys know what I'm talking about. There's a tiny book. Some of the exact concordance is really, really thick. If you have a Bible, do we have the Bible CD from Blue Letter Bible?
Not yet.
Okay. go to blueletterbible.org. Okay? That's one of my favorite websites. Even if you don't have a Bible application, go there. If you start to study there, you will never come out. You will enjoy so much. You can get the Greek and Hebrew words and Greek lexicon, all those fun things. Anyway, use a strong concordance, treasury scripture knowledge, or just using some of your Bible. Right here, in between these two columns, there's a little column, right? And the little verses. What are they? That's a cross-reference. That's a portion of a treasury scripture knowledge. So if you see the verse 10 and there is saying Isaiah 4:10, well, don't just look at, oh, okay, whatever, Isaiah 4:10. No, I want you to go to Isaiah 4:10 and look at what it means. Okay? That's how you learn. And when you get it, yeah, I got it, all of a sudden the Holy Spirit starts to speak to you. Okay? Have a little notepad on the side, start to jot it down what the Lord is speaking to you. You'll be surprised how much He speaks to you. This thing will help you to understand the Word of God and rightly dividing the Word of God. Speaking of interpreting the Bible, I'm sure many of you have heard this kind of phrase from somebody. Well, that's how you interpret the Bible. I don't agree. I interpret it my way. We cannot really know that that's the truth because you have your way, I have my way. And I'd like to ask, what you been smoking, dude? How many of you have heard that kind of thing? A lot of you, right? Many people try to twist the Bible truth to fit their needs if they do it out of context. Note that? Out of context. That is how we can wrongly divide the truth, a word of truth. We cannot just pick the interpretation and that seems most comfortable to us and claim it as true. It must be consistent with what the Bible says in the specific passage and with the entire message of Scriptures. It has to be in context. Please note that. It has to be in context. Verse 16. But shun profane and idle babbling, for they will increase to more ungodliness. And their message will spread like a cancer. Hymenaeus and the Philetus, are the dissort, who have strayed concerning the truth, saying that the resurrection is already past, and they overthrow the faith of some. The word profane comes from the Greek word babelos, which means godless. What is a godless? A man's opinion, teachings, stories, and programs without the Holy Spirit's guidance and empowerment. To compare to the simple word of God. When these things come to the focus of a message up from the pulpit, it will increase more ungodliness. This ungodly message like spread like a cancer, spreading faster and more popular than the truth. They captured itching ears of the spiritually ignorant and carnal people. A great example of that is the emergent church movement. How many of you guys have not heard the emergent church movement? Raise your hand. It's okay. Emergent church movement. Emergent church movement is wildly popular with the people who are dissatisfied with the Christian fundamental doctrine, organized church setting, and the traditional worship. The people who are drawn to the emergent church movement have generally high value on the ambiguity and mysticism. They even use Oriental mysticism and Ouija board. They actually use it in the church. The result of movement is the thrives in this organization lend itself to the mysticism and distrust, authority, dislike preaching, and feed intellectual pride and recognize a few doctrinal and moral boundaries. There is no such a thing as you cannot do it because it's against the moral. Anything flies. having sex before marriage and living together before the marriage, everything goes well with them. They talk about the love of God without the holiness of God. They teach the forgiveness of God without the repentance from sin. And they sugarcoat the sin with no consequences. In result, it attracts hundreds and thousands and millions of people around the world. Emergent church movement started with the godless and idle babbling, as the Bible mentioned, by the handful of people who are henchmen of Satan, such as Brian McLaren, Rob Bell, who has over 10,000 congregations in his church, and Chuck Smith Jr. Who's Chuck Smith Jr.? It sounds familiar. Chuck Smith, the very founder of Calvary Chapel, his oldest son. Can you imagine that? These are the people, are the false teachers, are they are the wolves with the sheep clothing. Some of you might be thinking now, how can you label them so harshly as a false teachers? I have two reasons. Number one, Jesus didn't have a bit of problem naming Pharisees as false teachers. Number two, another thing is Apostle Paul named Hymenaeus and Philetus as false teachers. And they are my examples, Jesus and Apostle Paul.
That's
fine. Let me ask you this. What am I supposed to do? Let's say we have a church building, and I have a very, very harmful chemical for the cleaning supply. It's under the sink. Should I allow your children to just wander around and go under the sink and take it out, take a big swig? Or should I do something about it? Yes, I would do something about it. As the pastor of this church, I have a solemn duty and obligation to let you know, especially spiritually young people. Change the slide. Thank you. Spiritual young people, regardless of their physical age, let them know that which false teachers' doctrine are poisonous and harmful. If I have to label them, I'll do without hesitation. So I'm telling you, Brian McLaren, Rob Bell, Tony Jones, Chuck Smith Jr. are false teachers. And emergent church is a false doctrine. As we study this 2 Timothy, we are going to go through a lot of false doctrines, and I'll point them out to you. Just like Hymenaeus and Philetus destroyed some people's faith, McLaren, Rob Bell, Chuck Smith Jr. destroyed many people's faith. Their blood is on their hands. Many today accept honor church who are way off in one area or another. And that justifies saying, well, I will just eat the meat and spit out the bones. Really, I doubt that. Most likely, they will be choked to death with that spiritual bone they're supposed to spit out. If they have a discernment, they wouldn't go near to those false doctrine or false teachers. You know, with me? We'll make three applications. Number one, do not get on worthless subject that would cause division, contention, and anger with your brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus. Some of you are thinking, or fuming, rather, because you have a King James Bible, and you really like that King James Bible, and you're thinking that King James is the anointed Bible. They actually believe that, do you know? They actually believe that King James Bible is so anointed much more than Greek and Hebrew version of the original manuscript. Really. I can find out I can pinpoint you several different locations in the King James wrongly interpreted. However, you know what the best version is? the one you can understand and the one you obey. Okay? If you cannot understand King James, if you cannot understand New King James, don't use it. I use this New King James because it's a pretty much popular version within Calvary Chapel. Do I like it? No, I don't. I honestly don't like a New King James Version. I prefer a New Living Translation or New International Version. The new, not the new one, old New International Version. Old, and you know what I'm saying. CJ, shut up. He confused me. Can you imagine what would happen if he is not blind?
Oh.
Kathy, we have our heart for you. Our prayers are with you. Second application. While we live on this earth, we need to remember that our earthly lives should reflect the Father in heaven. We don't live for ourselves. We are the ambassador of Jesus Christ. We should reflect Father in heaven. Thirdly, keep the Word of God in context all the time. So when I quote the verses, I want you to write it down. Actually, I'm giving all of that to in your study note. I want you to take it home, read at least five verses before, five verses behind. See if I'm telling the truth or not. How do you know I'm not lying? Right? All right, let's stand up and pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the word. We thank you for reminding us to not sidetrack, but focus on what matters, Jesus Christ, our Lord. We love you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.